Scripture reading this morning will come from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
And may the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Thank you, Brother Jason. Thank you for being in our assembly today to worship God with us. We appreciate the encouragement. We're excited that you're here. We're glad you brought your Bibles with you, and we'll be willing to follow along in our study, primarily of John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8 in our lesson today. We bid you a very pleasant good morning, and we hope that your day will be good and blessed, especially as a result of your worshiping God today. As a small boy, it didn't take me too long to ride my bicycle to my grandmother's house across town. Lived in a small town where she had the most beautiful flower garden in her backyard, and I really loved those flowers that she raised there. They were gorgeous. Many times I recall the fresh-cut flowers that adorned my grandmother's dining room table. She enjoyed working with flowers and sharing flowers with other people. When she cut them, she wasted no time getting them into water. After admiring them and smelling them and appreciating their beauty and how gorgeous they were, we both realized that their days were numbered. Those flowers weren't going to last forever. They had been severed from their life source. And you could put as much water as you wanted to in the container with the flowers, but still, they would soon wither and die. Their days were numbered. I knew that one day that she would have to take those flowers out, wilted and dead, and replace them with fresh ones. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, as he made his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus spoke to his disciples about the vine and the branches. He told them that God was the vine dresser and he was the true vine. And he helped them to understand that they, as his disciples, would be the fruit-bearing branches. The emphasis of this allegory is not really on the fact that disciples produce fruit. I say the emphasis is not. That's not to say it's not important to recognize that. In me is found six times throughout these verses. In verse 5, Jesus said, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." The emphasis is on abiding in Jesus Christ. Jesus was about to be taken away from them. It was very important that they remain in his teaching, that they continue to abide in him, just as he had prepared them for this great work they would undertake. They couldn't accomplish it unless they remained in him. The story of the vine and the branches has a great deal to teach us about discipleship. A disciple is more than a mere student. He's a follower. He's a supporter of his master. He has a special and most important and unique relationship with his master. Disciples are related to Christ in a manner comparable to the relationship between a vine and its branches. The word abide, when Jesus said, abide in me, means to stay in me or to remain in me. It's stated in the present tense, which means there's a continual action that is required there. Discipleship is not a hit or miss proposition at all. It's a continuous thing. The branch's life depends upon maintaining a connection with the vine. Likewise, a disciple must maintain his connection with Christ in order to stay alive spiritually. We don't abide in Christ just by becoming a Christian. Abiding or staying in is something that is accomplished by our purpose and our determination to do that very thing. It requires that continual action. Specifically, we abide in Christ by following His teaching. John wrote in John 15 and verse 10, if you keep my commandments, Jesus said, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. In John 8 and verse 31, Jesus was saying to the Jews who believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. In 1 John 2 and verse 15, the first letter that John wrote, following his gospel, but whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. God has given us the means whereby we may know that if we abide in Christ or not. We can gauge that for ourselves. We do not abide in Christ by wishing it to happen. We do not abide in Christ by having a good intention to so abide. We don't abide in Christ just by failing to do evil. Disciples only abide in Christ when they continue to follow the teaching of Jesus Christ. Let's consider some lessons on discipleship that we need to learn from the vine and the branches in our lesson this morning. We abide in Christ. If we abide in Christ, number one, we will be like the vine. We'll be like Jesus Christ. Although not stated specifically in the story, we know this much to be true from what we know about nature. James wrote in James 3 and verse 12, can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. The obvious answer is no. We understand that like begets like. If you plant corn in the ground, the crop that's going to come up is not tomatoes. Branches grow forth from the vine and take on the nature of the vine, just as disciples take on the nature of their master. In Luke 6 and verse 40, a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. As we abide in his word, his teachings mold and shape the thoughts that we have in our hearts that form our character and control our will. In 1 John 2 and verse 6, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Number two, if we abide in Christ, we will bear fruit. Bearing fruit is mentioned 6 times in this passage. As the vine dresser, God is inspecting the branches. He's looking through the vines, the branches of the vine, to see if he can find fruit in verse 2. That emphasis makes it clear that God is looking for fruit in our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ. What is this fruit? What is the fruit that God is looking for? Because we want to make sure it's there, don't we? We want God to be able to find it when he looks for it. What is it? I think just a couple of passages that we can use that will show us something about this fruit significantly are 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. Peter writes in this passage, notice what he says. For this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, supply knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. and in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You catch what Paul is saying there? These are fruits. These are virtuous characteristics of the true Christian. And we supply these things. We produce these things as branches in the vine. And if these qualities are ours, and if they increase, which they will, as God prunes the unproductive branches, which causes a greater increase for the other branches, as they increase, they render us not useless. They render us useful. They don't render us unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but fruitful. And this grand entrance into His eternal kingdom will be guaranteed to us. Now, isn't that what we're talking about in the branches bearing fruit as they abide in the vine? I think that's a pretty good passage to think about in connection with what really is fruit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. In Matthew 5 and verse 16, Jesus said, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In Titus 3 and verse 14, our people must also learn to engage in good deeds, to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be, what? So that they will not be unfruitful. Involvement in the work of the gospel is bearing fruit in Philippians 4. Winning lost souls is bearing fruit in Romans 1 and verse 13. In Hebrews 13, 15, through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. Did you know we're bearing fruit as branches that abide in the vine when we offer up praise and thanksgiving to our God? We're bearing fruit. Because of God's help, there's a progression in the quality and the quantity of the fruit that is born. We are to bear fruit, verse 2. We are pruned to bear more fruit, also in verse 2. And we are to bear much fruit, in verse 8. We're not to rest upon our past accomplishments or become satisfied with our current level of maturity. As disciples, we're expected to grow as long as we live, as long as we're in our right minds, as long as we can put forth the dedication and the persistence in order to do so, we're expected to grow, and in growing, we will produce more fruit. We will be pruned to bear more fruit when we abide in the vine and bear fruit. We are pruned in verse 2. In John 15 and verse 2, every branch that bears fruit, He prunes so that it will bear more fruit. The pruning is very important. An untrimmed vine develops long green shoots which must be cut off. Otherwise, they'll steal the nourishment that goes to the productive branches. They will take the nutrients away and diminish the growth on other productive branches. This pruning had already been done to the disciples according to what Jesus said in John 15 and verse 3. To a certain extent, this pruning had been done as they heard and applied the Lord's teaching. He said, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. The teachings of Christ cleanses our lives. It removes hindrances. It changes us from rebellious type people to humble people. It changes those attitudes if we examine ourselves and make the proper applications. God will strip away everything in our lives that does not contribute to producing fruit for Him if we allow Him to. God has several ways of pruning us. He cleanses us with His Word. In Psalm 119 in verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your Word. Living according to God's Word, allowing it to cleanse us. He disciplines us through His providence in Hebrews 12, 10 and 11, for they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, talking about parents disciplining their children. But He, that is God, disciplines us for our good, so that we may share His holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Notice that word, fruit, there? He allows us to suffer, knowing that such occasions give us the opportunity to mature, to be people who are producing endurance, to use what James said in James 1, 2 through 4, bringing about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, in Paul's letter to Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Although it is unpleasant, this pruning process is not a punishment. It is an expression of God's interest in our lives. It is an expression of God's love for each and every one of us. It is an expression of His great care and concern for each one. He's helping us to be more fruitful. Fourthly, we will remain connected to the life-giving vine. There's a reason that disciples must continue to abide in Christ. The branches derive their spiritual life and their ability to produce fruit from the vine. When they are removed from the vine, they wither and die. When we keep His commandments, we maintain this essential connection to Christ. We stay alive spiritually. We do not die spiritually. As the branches are totally dependent upon the vine, so disciples are totally dependent upon their Lord Jesus Christ, John 15, 4 and 5. A disciple is nothing without his master. Jesus said, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me, in verse 4. Jesus said in verse 5, for apart from me you can do nothing. Abiding in Christ is really a lifelong commitment. It takes that much determination and dedication. No fruit can be produced by an on one day and off on the other. No fruit can be produced for God with a on again, off again, on again, off again approach to who we are as disciples of His. Jesus said, stay in me, abide in me, live there, and I in you. That connection must be maintained. Failure to abide in Christ and produce fruit really invites disaster. Look in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Notice in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Destruction is the result of failing to abide in Christ. It's obvious that Jesus is speaking here of punishment in hell. The reason I say that's obvious, because of what Matthew says in Matthew 13, 40 through 42. In gathering up the tares of the field, they are burned with fire, so it shall be at the end of the age, Jesus said. The Son of Man will send forth His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all stumbling blocks, and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The same is affirmed by John in the Revelation letter in chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This passage does affirm the possibility of falling away, doesn't it? Falling away by failing to bear fruit, by failing to abide in the vine. We must heed those warnings. If we continue to abide in the vine, our prayers will be answered. Isn't it great that we're not left to ourselves to produce fruit? Isn't it great that God's hand is involved in that? God wants us to succeed. He is ready, He is willing, and certainly He is able to help us produce fruit. In John 15 and verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Boy, what confidence that inspires. This promise to answer prayer has to, of course, be kept in the context of this passage. Prayer is not just a blanket wish list where every little thing that we wish for, things that we would consume on our pleasure, every little thing we ask God for and He guarantees He will give it to us. That's not it. We must remember the context. Any request by a disciple pertaining to the production of fruit will surely be granted by our Father in heaven. Prayer is a privilege that we enjoy, a gracious privilege. One that is very valuable to every child of God. If we fail to remain connected to Christ, we'll sever our prayer line with God. But remember, Jesus said, if you abide in me, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be granted. It shall be done for you. Our prayers will be answered. Sixthly and finally, if we abide in the vine, we will glorify our God. God is glorified whenever disciples do what they are supposed to do. God is glorified whenever disciples do what God wants them to do. God is glorified when disciples bear much fruit, in verse 8. As the vine dresser, the fruit produced is a direct reflection, really, if you think about it, on God's planning and God's purposes, God's efforts, and God's care. He's the vine dresser. He's the one who cares for the living plant and the fruit that comes as a result. You know, we live in a world that's really blinded by darkness, spiritual darkness. And it's blinded by Satan and the sins that pervade our society. We live in a society that's filled even with religious hypocrisy. God is truly glorified by those faithful few who stand up and declare what is right and what is wrong according to God's word. Those who stand out, proving their genuineness to their claims that they are disciples of Christ by the fruits that they produce in their lives. And when people see our good works, will they not glorify God as well? They will, according to Matthew 5 and verse 16. A disciple can have no greater goal in life than to bring glory to his heavenly Father. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. A disciple can have no greater satisfaction than to know that God is being glorified by the words that He's speaking to another person, by the actions that He does before other people. We will glorify God. We can learn a lot of lessons about discipleship from a vineyard. And Jesus used the simple illustration of a vine with its branches and with its fruit and how it's cared for properly to illustrate great spiritual principles. Jesus is the true vine. We must abide in Him. We are the branches. Discipleship is abiding in the teachings of Christ. And as we do, we take on the nature of Christ. And taking on the nature of Christ, we produce fruit, spiritual fruit to God's glory. We also receive pruning. We're on a maintenance program, so to speak. God maintains us, our connection to the source of spiritual life. And we also receive the answers to our prayers. We glorify God in this. I hope that you've benefited from our thinking about the vine and the branches and the valuable lessons that are there for us as we are striving to be disciples dependent upon Christ. May God bless you today and thank you so much for listening. If you're in our assembly and you're not a Christian, we hope that you will think seriously about this simple illustration and realize the wonderful benefits that God has made available through Jesus Christ to everyone that believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. We give you that opportunity today to express your faith that Jesus is the Christ, to verbally pronounce the same. We give you the opportunity to declare that you are willing to repent of your sins, turn your back on the way that you know is not right, and live for God. We give you the opportunity to be baptized into Christ today. As I have a pool of water behind me here, all things are ready, clothing is prepared, towels are available to dry off. I think we even have a hair dryer now. We want to make it as easy and simple as possible for you to obey the gospel this day, if that's your desire. Today is the day of salvation. I will lower you into this water, and I will raise you up out of the water. A picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as described in Romans 6. And when I raise you up, every sin you've ever committed will be gone. Isn't that wonderful? That was such a wonderful thing to think about, isn't it? Such a wonderful thing to be in that condition. I will raise you up and you will walk in a new life as a Christian. You'll have brothers and sisters here who will encourage you and help strengthen you every step of the way. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. We'll do whatever we can do to help you walk closer to God when you leave this building than when you first came in. Doesn't that sound great? Isn't that appealing to you today? If it is, please come and let us help you while together we stand and sing the invitation song number 281. May God bless you.